If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 High FM.
And a very good Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be back. I've been away for a bit of time, but it's wonderful to again spend some time with you, share some ideas, look at the Parsha, look at the Torah, and to look at ourselves, to look at life, to look at that which influences us, and the choices that we have to make, how to look at life, how to behave, how to respond to that which is happening around us. The world is changing dramatically. The world is changing quickly. And sometimes it's difficult to adjust. Sometimes it's difficult to understand what in fact is taking place. The challenges, the questions are so overwhelming. The attitudes of people, the attitudes of nations are so overwhelming. And this is why it's important to look at Torah, which is eternal, lasts forever. From the beginning of the Jewish people to the present day, it's here, unchanged. And this is why Torah talks to us at every time, at every place. It's the book of truth, and truth is eternal. And because it's eternal, it contains an eternal message. It talks to us and tells us how to think and how to understand not only the commandments that God has given us, but also to understand current events, to understand the experiences that we as individuals are going through, and that we as a people, as a nation, going through. And this is why at a time such as this, it's so important for us to sit back and to, from perhaps a more objective position, look at life, look at the teachings of Torah, and to come to understand what in fact is actually happening. This week we entered the incredible month of Nisan. Nisan, which is the month of liberation and freedom. It contains the festival of Pesach, festival at which time we became a people. From a family, we became a nation. Jacob came down with a family, and what emerged at the time of Exodus was a massive, powerful, and great nation. A nation that walked through life, walked through history, marched through difficult times, marched through joyous times. We are here. And when I say we are here in every sense of the word, as a people who still stand fast with the faith that we expressed at that time. Nisan is a month not only of liberation and freedom, it's a month of miracles, we are told. The letter Nun stands for Nisim, stands for miracles, and the month is called Nisan, which has a close connection to the idea of miracles. And our sages tell us that when you have the letter Nun twice, as it is in the month of Nisan, it begins with the letter Nun and it ends with the letter Nun. This is a time of not only double miracles, but an extraordinary dimension of miracles. We all ask God for miracles, often. We want the ordinary to change. We want the situation of life to change. And sometimes we expect miracles to happen that will overwhelm the natural order of life. And often it does. God shows us miracles. We've all seen miracles. I've seen miracles. People who were desperately ill become healthy. Situations where people have all sorts of difficulties, miraculous events take place, which transform those difficulties into situations of blessing. But miracles, in the truest sense of the word, are all around us at all times. If we take an objective look at life, we will begin to understand that miracles are there wherever we look. What is a miracle? A miracle is something which happens, which is extraordinary. But if an extraordinary event continues to happen again and again and again, we begin to call it natural. And as a result of calling it natural, we lose sight of the fact that it's a miraculous act. But if we have the faith, the courage, the intelligence, the honesty of sitting back and looking at life honestly, we would see miracles all around us all the time. The world that we live in. A sunrise. The universe. Anything that happens. Just this past week, the world experienced a solar eclipse. A miracle. Is that a natural event? Yes, we call it a natural event. We know the sun is there. We know the moon is there. We know how the cycles work. But the cycles work at precise moments every so many years? Is it a random act? And that's just but one of the many illustrations of what a miracle is. A human being has a great mind. And in order for that mind to honestly assess the events of life, the events of the world, you have to stand back a bit and look at life and look at the world from an objective perspective. And when you do that, slowly but surely, you begin to see miracles. But we're jaded. We go through life, we take things for granted. And once we take things for granted, we expect them to happen. We no longer see the mystical dimension. We no longer appreciate the divine presence. We no longer recognize the hand of God. It's ordinary. It happens. The sun will come up tomorrow morning, and we know the exact moment that it will. The moon will appear every 30 days. And we can tell you with absolute precision when it will appear over Jerusalem every single month. We know it. And therefore we lose the excitement, the beauty, the miracle dimension. It's natural. A human being. Think about a human being for one moment. The complexity of what makes him a human being, purely from a physical point of view. The blessing that we say every single morning, the Asher Yatzar, how God created us with valves, with all sorts of elements within us. The fact that we continue to exist, the fact that we are able to physically exist, what does the blessing say? We have veins. We have valves that open and close. God forbid, if they open at the wrong time or they close at the wrong time, we could not continue to live. And yet this complex creature called a human being lives. A miracle. Do we see the miracle? Yes, if we would say that blessing every single morning or every single time the body functions as it should, and we stop for a moment and consider that the human being is a gift from God, we would see the miracle. But we don't. We take ourselves for granted. We take life for granted. Everything becomes natural. But then comes the month of Nisan. The noon of the beginning, the noon of the end. And we have to ask ourselves, isn't it time to recognize the miracle in ourselves and in the world? More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about miracles. We're talking about recognizing miracles in every day of life. We're talking about looking at the natural, looking at the ordinary, looking at all that which we take for granted, and recognizing the divine, recognizing the presence of God. And this is why when we turn to the Parsha of this week, Parsha Tazria, we see an incredible demonstration of a miracle that we often miss. Parsha begins with talking about conception and birth, the laws governing a woman who gives birth to a male child, to a female child, and the laws surrounding that particular situation. And we stop for a moment and we consider, what is birth? What is conception? You know, in Pirkei Avot, in the Ethics of Fathers, we come across a Mishnah that tells us, Me'ayim batav, where do you come? What's the origin of man? And the Mishnah, speaking to a cynic, answers in a cynical sort of way. It says, Mayayim Bata, where do you come from? Betipasarucha, from a rancid seed. The seed which can become a human being can also become a rancid seed. And yet this seed turns into a human being. A human being. In the fullest sense of the word, stop and consider what a human being is, as I mentioned before. The complexity of veins, skeleton, a nervous system, digestive system, a brain, a heart, liver. And then you go on to intelligence, go on to feelings. A human being who can love, a human being who can imagine, a human being who can create, a human being who can take and make beautiful sounds, music, a human being who can make beautiful sights, art. Travel through the beautiful cities of the world and think to yourself, who built these things? Human beings, with intelligence, with emotion, with creative ability. Human beings imagine these things, architects, craftsmen, people who had strength and ability. Where do they come from? They came from a humble seed. Is that not a miracle? From a humble seed, conceived within the womb of a mother, emerges a human being, a whole world, a whole universe. And you look at the world and you consider what human beings have created, what human beings have accomplished, not only in the physical sense, not only in the material sense, but in the spiritual sense as well. Communities, relationships, families. And you think to yourself, where did it come from? From one little seed. Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve. They gave birth to the nation of the world. Yes, one man, one woman, Adam and Eve, father and mother of all of humankind. Is that not a miracle? Every mother, every father, is that not a miracle? Every person, every human, every child, is that not a miracle? Look at what they have accomplished. Look at who they are. Look at what they are. But at the same time, we have to take a step back for all their creativity, for all their beauty, for all their wonderful imagination, for all their incredible, incredible accomplishments. Human beings can be very destructive as well. No animal on earth is able to bring about as much destruction as does a human being. Yes, an animal can hunt and an animal can kill, usually for food. Never because they're angry, never because they hate, never because they, for whatever reason, dislike another animal or another group of animals. Usually it's simply because they want to survive. And this is why they go after a weaker animal. Yes, sometimes even a stronger animal. But generally, it's the rule of survival. Whereas human beings can bring about terrible, terrible chaos, terrible catastrophe, terrible destruction. That too has to be considered when we consider the miracle of humankind. Because in addition to the incredible physical complexity which makes up for the miracle of the human being, the intelligence, the emotion, we have to remember the miracle of the soul, and the soul which is connected to God, and the soul which urges the human being to use those miraculous gifts for good things, for positive things, to build, to love, to share, to create a world that God can be proud of, to create a garden and not a jungle, to create a world of peace. But tragically, sometimes even the good within this world must defend themselves against the evil that is perpetrated by those who are driven by evil, by hate. And this is the world we live in. And this is the parsha, what we read. We celebrate birth. We celebrate the miracle of the human being. We celebrate the greatness of God's creation. But we have to defend it. We have to cherish that which God made and to ensure that it continues. When you think about it, human beings are a great example of infinity. Continue generation after generation after generation. Generally, the human being is incapable of conceiving infinity. We are finite creatures. And for us to imagine something which is outside the realm of the finite is near impossible, and to most impossible. But at the same time, when you take a look at birth and rebirth and rebirth, that gives us a glimpse into the idea of infinity. And we have a tremendous responsibility to ensure that this incredible ongoing miracle remains in a healthy, ethical state. Each and every one of us has a responsibility to ensure that it continues in a good and just and ethical manner. And this is why from time to time we have to stand up and demand that everyone who has a part in this world recognizes the beauty of the miracle and chooses to do good. And this is why we have to ignite and inspire people to recognize the inherent good that they contain. Not only the intelligence and the emotion, that's never enough, because those elements can be and are often used for negative things. You have to inspire them with the presence of godliness, because godliness will ensure goodness. But godliness that is based upon a brotherhood, a unifying dimension, godliness which is bound up together with ethical behavior, with moral behavior, that's the miracle that we can create. Yes, human beings are capable of creating miracles. God creates miracles. And we see it every single day if we choose to open our eyes properly. If we don't blind ourselves with the material pleasures of life. If we don't blind ourselves with the foolish philosophies of the world. With the negative philosophies of the world. But as God creates miracles, He gave us the ability of creating miracles as well. And the miracle that we can create are the miracles of peace, the miracles of goodness, the miracles of inspiring people to recognize that dimension within each and every one of us. And that's the work we have to do by teaching, but more importantly, by example. That's the miracle. And this is why the Parsha of Tazria that we're going to read in Shul tomorrow speaks about birth. Not only to talk about the ongoing blessing of another generation, which is an incredible blessing, but also to talk to us about the miracle of birth. And when we recognize the miracle of birth, we recognize the hand of God, the divine presence, and that should inspire us to recognize the miracle that we ourselves have to perform within ourselves and within those around us, far and near. That's the work we have to do. It is truly sad that sometimes we have to, take stern measures. We have to take stern measures to ensure that the world is kept in a good and safe place. Because tragically, there are so many out there who choose to behave in a negative way, who choose to behave in a way that blinds people to goodness, that blinds people to recognizing the miracle, that blinds people to the idea of a peace that connects people to an ultimate good. This is why we are obligated to create the miracle again and again and again. This is why we read the Parsha every single year. It's not once that we read it, and we go on, we come back to it. It's a cycle. And this is what we learn from the natural world as well. We all knew there was going to be a solar eclipse. How did we know? And we knew precisely when it was going to happen. And we knew precisely where it was going to be, a full solar eclipse, to the exact split second. Because that's the miracle that God put into the natural order. The precision, the absolute precision. Nothing is random. Nothing just happens. Nothing is an accident. Oh, suddenly the sun is gone. No. We know when it's going to happen. We know when Halley's Comet's going to come around. We know where the North Star is. We know at what moment is going to be sunrise. We know exactly when the moon is going to reappear. That's the miracle of the natural. And this is why we learn from the natural how to recognize a miracle. And this is why we are compelled to take the miraculous message and inspire others to see the miracle within ourselves, within the world, within life, within each other. And to allow the ethical divine presence to guide us again and again and again. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
And this is why when we look at this week's Parsha, it's kind of divided in two. The Parsha begins with a majestic and beautiful description of, well, the miracle of birth and the joy and the excitement of what birth brings to parents, to family, to the world in general. But as we turn the page, it changes, the tone changes. It begins to speak about a terrible illness that existed in biblical times, Tzaraat. A type of illness that people call leprosy, but wasn't. It was a type of illnesses that appeared on the skin, which indicated that here was an individual who chose to behave in a way that destroyed the delicate fabric of society. He did, he said, he spoke. He did things and said things and spoke in a way which indicated that he had no respect for society to remain a healthy place, a place that people should live in and with peace and harmony and, well, basically goodwill toward each other. And instead of that, he brings strife and conflict and confusion and anger. And this is what this Parsha is all about. Do we choose the miracle of life? Do we choose the miracle of seeing the divine in everything? Or do we choose to behave in a way which brings destruction, fragmentation, brings negativity, brings darkness and ugliness? But at the same time, it's not there simply to show us the other side, the negative side. It's there to tell us that even then there is something that can be done. The individual, the society, can be healed. It can be transformed. We are able to bring about the good even in situations of difficulty. But in order to do that, we need bitachon. We need tremendous trust in God. We need extraordinary faith. We need to not only believe in miracle, but to act in a miraculous sort of way. And this is what is called upon us right now in terms of what's happening in the world. So many elements of, well, negativity. Those who, well, have the intentions of doing terrible things, and those who stand up on the sidelines and through their silence, are equally guilty. We've seen that throughout the generations, and we see it in our own. And a person can become, well, confused, disheartened. A person can say, what's happening to the world? And begin to wonder if, in fact, things can continue, or will things last in a good way. This is where we as Jewish people, people who are bound together with the strength and truth of Torah, must take the message of Torah and say, we have the courage, the fortitude, to bring out that inner strength, that inner faith, that inner trust in Hashem, that we have the ability. We have the ability of recognizing the miracle, and we will show the miracle. It's not easy. It's not easy when we see our own people having to stand up and defend themselves, but we know that we will bring light into this darkness. We will bring truth against all these falsehoods. We will bring the ethical divine message to those who want to bring about a negative, destructive message. But we need to be strong. And we derive this strength from Torah. And derive this strength from Torah through the study of Torah, through living a Torah life, and through sharing a Torah message with each other. That in itself gives us strength. That in itself inspires fortitude. That in itself enables the incredible and powerful inner dimension of soul power to come to the fore. Yes, it does. When we speak to ourselves and to each other with a powerful message of truth and miracle, it brings out from within our neshama, from within our soul, that incredible, infinite power of emunah, of faith, of bitachon, of trust. And it begins to energize not only ourselves, but our environment. We can't allow for negative, uncertain talk to influence us. Turn on the radio. Watch television. Listen to what people talk around the dinner table. It can be so disheartening. And my message is, don't listen to it. It doesn't help. They're not conveying facts. They're not conveying truths. It's opinions. It's attitudes. It's attitudes that come from a particular point of view, a point of view which is not necessarily a healthy point of view, a point of view which is not necessarily our point of view, a point of view which is not necessarily the truth. And this is why we should avoid listening to those attitudes, to those opinions, to those non-truths. We should source truth. We should source positive energies. We should source the miracle, the divine presence, the presence of godliness within ourselves and within the world around us. This is the call of the day. This is what we have to do, and this is what we are able to do right now. Yes, as I often say, it might be difficult. And in certain situations, it might be very difficult. But it's possible. It's doable. It can be done. What we need is will. What we need is courage. What we need is determination. If we sit back and simply allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the amount of negative influence, we will be crippled. But if we stand firm and we stand up and we say, we are people of tremendous, tremendous, miraculous history. We are people who've lived through this again and again, and we are here. Here in capital letters. We have seen the miracle. We've experienced the miracle. We are the children. We are the offspring of miracle. And we are the makers of a miracle as well. We are the witnesses of miracles. Then no one can touch us. And if they do, they too will be touched by the power of that miracle. And this is what we have to do. This is what our mission is right now, wherever we are in the world. Wherever we are in the world. The negative voices are loud. The negative behavior is ugly. But we have beauty, we have truth, we have the month of Nisan, the month of miracles, the month of true liberation and freedom, the month that contains the festival of Pesach, which is a huge testament to who and what we are. People who were enslaved for hundreds of years march out with pride, with dignity, with tremendous, tremendous strength, sending a message to the entire world. This people cannot be destroyed. And they marched to Sinai to receive the Torah. And they marched to the promised land to fulfill the promise that God gave the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This land will be given to your children. If we have the strength to accept that, to believe that, to live by that, it will be our truth. So when you're in shul tomorrow, listen carefully. As the parsha opens up, talks about birth, think about the incredible miracle of birth. And when it continues and talks about that terrible biblical illness called tzaraas, understand, yes, humans are able to create all sorts of negativity. But at the same time, we're able to correct it as well. We have the power of turning things around. And for those of you who are learning Maimonides on a daily basis, the three chapters, today we began learning the laws of teshuvah, of repentance, of return, of transforming the negative into not only the neutral, but into positive. And that's the power of the miracle as well. Nothing is lost. Nothing is over. Nothing is, well, it's too late. Nothing is too late. So when you're in shul tomorrow, use the opportunity. And yes, go to shul tonight, tomorrow. That's an act of pride. That's an act of courage. That's an act of creating a minor miracle. We are here, in capital letters. And listen to the Torah reading. Now listen to every word. And as I say, you'll come across a certain word, a certain sentence, a certain passage that talks to you, that talks to you directly. Listen for that and listen for it carefully, because it contains a message and it sends a message to you. It talks to you. Good Shabbos.